ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
25th prophecy update. I started it when I was 10. What are you laughing at? And here's the thing. I don't know if you've noticed this, but as I look at what's going on in the world, I see things spiraling faster and faster toward the day of the Lord, the day of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period as we know of. And I didn't say, though, that things are spinning out of control. And that's some of the problem for some Christians. They see this and they say, oh my gosh, everything's chaos, with the world spinning out of control. And that's not really true. It's like we're told here, by Tozer, well, it looks like things are out of control. Behind the scenes, there's a God who hasn't surrendered his authority. Never forget that. They're not spinning out of control. They're actually happening just as God said they would happen in his word. And as much as it blows me away as I look at the things that are happening, I'm comforted knowing that this is what God has said. And it's like we're told here in Psalm 139:7, and so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. I hope we take that to heart, that no matter what's going on in the world, our hope has got to be in the Lord. And I think sometimes what happens with prophecy conference and prophecy teachers is they speak about the gloom and doom of what's happening, but they miss the point. And before we even begin to look at what's going on in the world, I want you to understand our hope is never in this world. Our hope has to always be in the Lord. Let me ask you this question. Why has the Lord told us what's going to happen before it happens? And there's several reasons I can give you, but the one I want to focus on is out of Isaiah. Isaiah 44, verses 6 through 8, where we're told this. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. And who can proclaim it as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come. Let them show these to them. Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. So one of the things that we can hold on to is God has told us what's going to happen before it happens. And it shows us that he's God. And he challenges others to do the same, not just to get it right 50, 75%, 99% of the time, but to get it right 100% of the time. And no one can do that. Only God can. And we've talked about it, I believe it was on Sunday, the over 300 prophecies of the first coming of Jesus Christ were all fulfilled down to the tiniest detail. That's beyond any mathematical probability. In fact, 1 in 48 is beyond any mathematical probability. It's not that God is right most of the time or 99% of the time. God is right 100% of the time. And let me say this. Back in 1930s, 1940s, most Bible teachers said that Israel will never become a nation. They saw their demise. And thus, it has to be speaking symbolically. Well, that all changed in 1948 when Israel became a nation again and the Jews were back in the land. I think we need to take the Bible very literally when it tells us to. And God gets it right 100% of the time. So we should be comforted by that. God's told us what's going to happen before it happens. And the great thing about that is it comforts our hearts. And then God says, okay, now go be a witness of me. Go tell others. You see, I don't know about you, but if God didn't tell us of all the things that were going to happen before they happened, and I look at the events going on in the world today, I'd be hopeless. But I know what God has said in his word, and it comforts my heart, and hopefully it comforts your heart as well. In the book of Jeremiah, we see God pronouncing judgment upon the southern kingdom of Judah for their idolatry, for their turning away from the Lord. In fact, this is what we're told. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. I believe what Jeremiah was saying to the people living in the southern kingdom of Judah, the Lord is speaking to us as a nation and as individuals. To go back to the old paths, the word of God. Why? Because it's good. It's healthy. And in that, in going back to the word of God, we can find rest for our souls. And the Lord says, okay, now walk in them, follow them, obey them. But the children of Israel, what did they say? Well, we will not listen. Now, that's what I've called this study. My wife said, why did you call it, we will not listen? And you're telling, is that what the people are going to say? No, that's not what they're going to say. But look at people living in this world today. Isn't that what they're saying to God? We will not listen. We're doing our own thing. We're doing what we think is right. We don't care what God has said. We also see this spoken of in 2 Chronicles 35, verses 15 and 16, where it says, and the Lord God of their father sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. You know, today, like back then, there are those who are speaking forth the truths of God found in the word of God. They're warning people of the dangers that are out there. Not only that they need to come to Christ, but for those who are saved, warning of the New Age and Eastern mysticism that's coming into the church. The false doctrine that's flooding into the church today. And what's happening is that those who are standing up for the truths of God found in the word of God, like the Old Testament prophets many times, are mocked, they're put down, they're called intolerant and unloving and so on. But as people and so-called Christians move farther and farther from God, as they mock the messengers of God and despise the words of God, there's coming a day, and I believe it's getting closer and closer, where they're going to pass that point of no return. There's not going to be a remedy for them, and God's wrath is going to be poured upon them during the tribulation period. I've broken these studies down into several points here, and I've broken them down like this. The first one is, come out from among them, and they say, we will not. And this is going to deal with the church and how it's become more worldly. Then we're going to deal with this one. I formed you in the womb, don't touch. And we tell God, we will not. We're not going to obey you. Then we're going to look at the apple of my eye, Israel, don't touch. And the world saying, we will not. We're not going to listen. And then follow me. And again, we will not. And we're going to be looking at how people refuse to follow the Lord, and they're going to embrace this one world government, this technology and all this stuff, and ultimately the Antichrist. And then we're going to sum it up. And the focus of what's coming, the judgment of God upon a Christ-rejecting world, and what our responsibility should be until the church is called home. I think that's pretty important. So with that as our introduction, we're going to come to that first point, come out from among them. Now, you can agree with me on this one or not, but I see the church, the big picture of the church. There are many great churches out there and great Christians out there, but I see a lot of them moving farther and farther away from God's word in the days that we're living in. And please understand that I'm not saying we should not be in the world sharing our faith and isolate ourselves from unbelievers. Not at all. We're to be in the world, but the world is not to be in us. And yet, look at what's happened in the church. Look at what we've brought into the church. You know, the Bible's not infallible. Man, not made in God's image. No miracles, no virgin birth, no deity, no atonement. And we've got evolution, world philosophy, emerging church, social justice, which I don't even understand how the church is embracing it, but they are. Prosperity, mysticism, homosexuality, and ultimately, it's going to lead to the Antichrist. And it's interesting because Jesus warned us in Matthew 24, that deception would play a big role in the last day scenario. And I think we see it today. But let me also say this. We have the Word of God opened up to us by the Spirit of God, and we shouldn't be taken captive by these false teachings. This stuff is so easy, and I think you'll see that as I bring it forth. But people are embracing this stuff. I think because they have itchy ears. They want their ears tickled. They're not interested in the truths of God. And they'll find teachers that will tell them what they want to hear. Charles Spurgeon preached some 140 years ago or so. Listen to what he said. "The time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats." That's what he said 140 years ago. Did he nail it? I think he did. Because the church is not about honoring and worshiping God. It's about entertaining the people. And so the entertainment has to be bigger and better, and you got to have worship services with lights and smoke and all kinds of things. But is that honoring God? We bring worldly teaching, worldly philosophies, worldly ideas into the church, and the apostasy that the Bible warns us about, I think is upon us. This is from North Point Community Church. They opened their Sunday morning service with hits from the 90s. They sang, "Love the Way You Turn Me On." That was their worship service. We've lost sight of worshiping a holy God, that He is Almighty God. We've lost that perspective. Why is this so popular right now? Singing, "Love the Way You Turn Me On," because it feeds the flesh. But let me also say this. Worship is not about you. Worship is about God and honoring Him. Could you imagine going into heaven and singing, "Love the Way You Turn Me On" before God? Well, if you can't do it in heaven, why are you doing it down here? Remember what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18. He gave us this warning. "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Not only what Paul said here in 2 Corinthians, but listen to what James tells us. "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Isn't that interesting? And Paul wrote in Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I think it's clear we're to come out from the world because the Lord has called us to. We're not to be friends of the world because as we embrace the world's ways, we become an enemy of God. And if you don't think that's true, study. Sunday mornings, we're in the book of Judges. You're seeing what happens when you cohabitate with the world. Read what happened to the northern kingdom of Israel. Read what happened to the southern kingdom of Judah. By the time judgment came to the southern kingdom of Judah, there were idols on every street corner. One of the things today, again, as we've developed this mentality that God wants me to be happy, I guess I could say, okay, book, chapter, verse. Show me where God wants me to be happy. I will show you where God wants me to be holy. And it's far different. And I'll tell you what, when my will is in accord with God's will, oh, there is tremendous joy and blessing. But when I'm fighting against God and I'm a Christian, it's going to be tough. It's a tough battle, and you're not going to win. And so much of the world has come into the church that we allow, you know, homosexuality. We allow the divorce rates within Christians is equal or even worse than the world. And we've taken the Holy Spirit out of the picture in regard to how the church is to function. And we've replaced the Holy Spirit with worldly ideas. You know, I still get church growth emails. Like there's some program that you have to do, like the church is some business that you have to grow the church a certain way. I read in Acts how the church is to grow. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer. And God added to the church daily those being saved. That's the church growth movement that God has. But now the church has developed something that is far different, and it leaves the Holy Spirit completely out of the way. We're kind of a market-driven approach today. Thus, teaching about sin, holiness, divine judgment, they're avoided. Why? Because they're confrontational. We don't want to teach about those things. And again, when we look at worship, like I said, much that passes for worship is in contemporary churches would be difficult to distinguish from a secular rock concert. Now, if you want to go to a Christian concert, I have no problem with that. But that's not worship. That's a concert. It's completely different. It's entertainment. But when I come to church, I'm here to worship Almighty God. And this is what I see in the church. This is the church, and the world has let so much, or the church has let so much of the world into it, it's sinking. This is what the church is into right now. This is how far from the faith they're going. Teaching that the Bible is not inspired and inerrant. Using books of the Bible instead of the Bible in Bible study. Teachers are teaching that there is more than one way to God besides Jesus. Being embarrassed to say that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Teaching that there is no absolute right and wrong. Being careful to not offend anyone at the expense of biblical truth. Pastors preaching moralism instead of a Christ-centered message. Approving of homosexuality, approving of women pastor elders, not condemning the sins of society. Psychology as an authority on human nature. I think Jesus is authority on human nature because he created us. Sorry. Use of politically correct terms of the world from the pulpit where those terms replace biblical values and truths. Going to church is a social habit. Prayer is a last resort. Missionaries not sent out or supported. Divorce statistics as common as secular society and evolution. And I guess Paul warned us that this is going to happen in the last days. He said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why? For the time is going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or fairy tales. But you be watchful in all things. Endure affliction. Afflictions do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And that's where we're at today. Now, I'm not saying, again, every church or that we're the only church around that teaches the Word of God. That absolutely not. But the numbers are dwindling down where you can find a church that is teaching verse by verse through the Bible anymore. And the reason is that's not how you grow a church to them. It's a marketing approach today. You might think I'm going overboard, but I'll give you this example. And this one, it blows me away. I'll just put it like that. The first annual Christian Witches Convention will teach that Jesus was a sorcerer who performed alchemy or a power or process that changes or transforms something into a mysterious or impressive way. And the Bible is really a book of magic. Really. You don't believe me. First annual Christian Witches Convention. I don't even get it. Yeah. They did have broom closets there to put their broom... No, sorry. That was bad. Yeah. Listen to what we're told about this, because this, again, just is one of those things that I don't even get. In an extended discussion with Witcher approximately 2 months ago on reconciling the practice of witchcraft and Christianity, Witcher, whose website says he brings God's messages to humanity through a powerful teaching and training, allowing non-traditional followers to hear the divine voice of hope, said the Bible is a huge book of sorcery. The Bible is a huge book of sorcery. You literally can't get around that. You can't get around Jesus being a magician. There's just no way, he said. The Reverend Valerie Love, the force behind the event who describes herself as a practicing Christian witch and an ordained minister of spiritual consciousness, recently launched the Covenant of Christian Witches Mystery School to help Christians tap into magic, which critics are condemning as dangerous. She insists there is nothing wrong with the idea of Christians practicing magic, despite biblical warnings against it. You're talking about sorcery at its base understanding. It's really just being able to change the natural by supernatural means. That's really it. It's to say that you turn water into wine. 1-2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, feeding the multitude, absolutely forms of sorcery. Walking on water defined the natural realm and laws that govern this physical plane. That's all realms of sorcery. Magic is simply just using the props to do it, he contended. You're talking about the whole of Jesus' adult ministry is all magic, all sorcery. Even if we just say Jesus, every particular miracle Jesus does defies human law, defies the laws of the universe and the world. So you can't really talk about being a Jesus follower without doing what he did, which is magic. So now Jesus really is not Almighty God, I guess, anymore, right? He's a magician. And the church is embracing this now. Again, not everyone, but this is a growing fad, I guess. And the Lord has called us to come out from that. How could you say that there is nothing wrong with this? I love Jesus' response to the religious leaders when they got it wrong. And he said, have you not read? And that's my question to them. Have you not read the scriptures? I'll just give you one. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 12. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. I know it's not really clear, is it? Come on. You see, these things are so simple, but we don't know the scriptures, and thus people are taken in by this. Again, the Lord has called us to come out, and by their actions, many Christians are saying we will not come out, or those who claim they're Christians. There's more. Then we have the leftist gay-affirming feminist who works for both Liberty University and the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, and has admitted plainly that, in her opinion, much of what conservative Christianity believes about the Bible is wrong. Well, isn't that interesting? We got it wrong, she got it right. That's a good thing, man. She's around. What did we get wrong? Well, she's a self-proclaimed feminist who says abortion isn't murder. Karen Swallow Pryor, she's a research fellow for the Southern Baptist Convention's ERLC, and it's basically made up, it's a title made up for her and handed out to leftists who work as hatchet men for Russell Moore. But Pryor, who thinks pets go to heaven because naming them gives them personhood, is on record saying that animal cruelty bothers her more than abortion. You know, how many red flags do we need? You know, we remember Lost in Space? I think you guys remember Lost in Space. Danger, Will Robinson, danger, the robot would say. That's what the Lord is saying. Danger, guys. Pay attention. Pryor praised the Gets Better campaign, which is a pro-LGBT campaign targeted at youth and children, and produced videos from Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton encouraging kids in their homosexuality. Pryor endorsed the use of gay porn propaganda in high schools and colleges. Gay porn propaganda. Pryor headlined an LGBT film fest and fundraiser called Level Ground. Pryor also endorsed the LGBT Revoice Conference, which has by now been resoundingly rejected as pro-gay by just about everybody who's anybody, except for Dr. Pryor, who continues to endorse it in spite of it being gay-affirming. She's given affirming words towards the anti-cop hate group Black Lives Matter. And she ridiculed Mike Pence for following the Billy Graham rule which is basically he doesn't go out with other women to dinner without his wife. I don't counsel women without my wife. That's just being wise. Pryor promotes and supports illegal immigration, says the poor people in bad neighborhoods shouldn't have firearms. Why? Southern Baptist Convention? Come on, guys. There are wolves in the church, and they're turning people away from the God of the Bible and drawing them to the God of self, where we decide what's right and wrong. And again, the Lord has said, come out from among them. And what are we saying? By our actions, we will not? I'm not trying to offend anyone here. If I've come against a group that you support, I'm sorry.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.